You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reformed book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
Okay, so it's Sunday morning, and we're in Philly, the tail end of Indies Invade Philly. Yeah, Rob, we're recording now. Like, this is all going to be in there.
We may be a little slap happy.
We are exhausted, and it's been a really long, awesome weekend, but damn, it's been an awesome weekend, and it's been really long. So I just say the same thing in a different way. You did. Totally did, and I snorted. So the cool thing is that we're all in the same place, even though we're on different computers, because there's no way to get four faces on one computer and still be able to hear us. Although my microphone is so damn sensitive, we probably could have just put it way back there and all been on the same one. But anyway, so Julie will edit off all the nonsense later, and you're going to just get to join us while we're sitting here for book club, because Susie came down to join us from Jersey.
Surprise!
And it was just so awesome. We were expecting her to be in her living room, and she's not. She's here. So that was a really nice surprise to wake up to this morning. So the story goes, Ron and Julie and I have been here all weekend for Indies. And I thought this morning we were going to be doing book club from here, the three of us, and Susie was going to be in Jersey. And then Julie woke us up at 7. She's like, Susie's here, like on the way here. So, and she apparently knew about this since last Friday. And she kept a secret from us. Susie's keeping secrets, but it was an awesome secret and it's an awesome surprise. So we all get to be in the same place to do.
We really are all in the same place.
So, but we're doing, there we go. Are we good? Yeah, we're good. So, but we're all in the same place. We're just doing two computers so that it's a little bit easier to manage. And it's book club week. So we're talking about Charlie by Janice Whitaker. And just a little bit of an intro on Charlie, and we'll get into all the things. Charlie is part of a series. It's part of the Big Northwest series, which is a spinoff, or actually I kind of call it an extension of Secrets of the Mountain Men. And Secrets of the Mountain Men was originally called
The Big Series,
right? And it's honestly one of my favorite series of all time. I absolutely love the series. It's so good. But we're not talking about that today, but we are, because Big Northwest is an extension of Big. And we read Charlie, which is the most recent one, which we've all been posting about because it's super awesome. And Janice has been gracious to come on today on a Sunday morning and do book club with us while we're all in the same place. So we're going to talk a little bit about Charlie. And if you haven't read it yet, there will be spoilers. So just be aware that there are spoilers involved with Charlie with our book club today. And we'll start it right off with characters, because this is a character-based novel, and we all have our faves, and I think we all have the same favorite for different reasons, maybe?
No, I'm different.
No, you're different? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. So let's talk about Adam first. I love that. I just read the reason. I'm looking at the notes. So Charlie is about Charlie and Adam. So that's our heroine and our hero. And whoever's horn that is out in Philadelphia needs to shut up, because you're disturbing us. And you're distracting me, squirrel. So
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Really didn't, this whole weekend. But it was such a good time. Anyway, so Adam is my favorite character, because he's just some serious book boyfriend material. I have trouble putting all of that into words, but you guys did it a lot better than I did. In fact, Julie, you have like the perfect reason for why you like Adam. So why is Adam your favorite character?
He was so attuned to Charlie, her needs, why she needed it, even when she didn't know she needed it. It was just
whatever it was.
Yeah, it.
All the things. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so he kind of just does the thing. He didn't ask ask her, what can I do for you? He just did the thing.
He just did. And cool. his background is interesting. And I love that we get into his background a little bit because it actually shows up in the first one in this series. Charlie's the third book, right? Yes. Charlie's the third book in Big Northwest. And Adam is actually in the first book. And then he disappears and comes back in the third book as the main character, the main male lead. And he does. Which is more interesting to me because when you do find out his background and then you're like, damn, he just like literally rolled up his sleeves and jumped into what he was doing and not a second thought about it, did what needed to be done. And I love Charlie so much because she's kind of a deep character for me, you know?
I think it may be beneficial if we explain the series a little, being that it's following a group of sisters.
Yes. So mm-hmm. It follows a group of sisters, and which follows a group of, they're not all brothers in yeah. Secrets of the Mountain Men, but they're all related. And this is one of those series that it's kind of, I call it light PNR. So if you like PNR paranormal, or you're not sure if you might like paranormal, this is kind of a nice one to ease into it because it's kind of paranormal light.
Right, you know? And the paranormal stuff isn't essential to, I mean, it's important to the plot, but it's not the central focus.
Right.
It's kind of like and did you know?
Yes, exactly. And it's kind of cool because it's a lot of paranormal that I've read is set in other worlds or realms. And this one is set in the mountains in West Virginia for the Secrets of the Mountain Men. And then Big Northwest is set in the mountains in Washington State?
Correct.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Oregon or Washington State. So it's set way out there, and it does follow a group of sisters who have special characteristics. I don't want to call it a talent, because it's not a talent.
No, it's an ability.
It's an ability.
It's a power.
Yeah, an innate ability, a genetic ability that mirrors the Mountain Men. You think?
I think it's a genetic trait.
They have
a genetic trait.
Yep.
That makes them have abilities.
Yeah. So there's something special about this group of sisters. There's five sisters, right? There's five of them. Yes. There's five sisters in Big Northwest. And Charlie is the youngest. Right?
Is Frankie younger than Charlie?
No, I think she's the youngest.
Frankie's the oldest.
The Charlie was the baby.
No, Frankie's not the oldest.
Janice will clarify.
So when Janice comes out, we're going to have to clarify, okay, who's the oldest, who's next? But Charlie, I know, is the baby.
Right.
Charlie's the baby.
And I actually thought that Adam was going to end up with Alex when we first meet.
Yes, Adam, when you read the first book.
The other book. I thought that he would end up with Alex.
So can you pull up the titles of the first three
of the girls.
Yeah. So all of the titles of the books are all the names of the girls. But what I thought was really interesting in it is Alex or Danny is the first one.
Danny.
So the Alex, first one is Danny, then Alex, then Charlie. And then who are the other two sisters?
Frankie. And
the one that's missing
the other one, the one that's
and
missing
the other one.
But do you notice a trend? So I thought this was interesting because the Secrets of the Mountain Men, they were all men and it was all the names of the guys. And then when I was looking at like the next one, and the next one was Danny and then Alex, I was like, oh, more guys. And then started reading the books and I was like, oh shit,
there's Sam.
This is Sam. So Danny, Alex, Charlie, Sam, and Frankie. And
isn't Sam the oldest?
Is Sam the oldest?
Sam is the oldest.
Isn't she? I don't remember. We're going to ask Janice.
Sam is the oldest. She birthed them.
But I love that they're all guys' names. Or nicknames. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like this, I don't want to say it was misleading. It wasn't misleading. It was just more of an interesting twist, even on the title, because the first five in Secrets of the Mountain Men they're all guys. And then I was like, okay, more guys in the Northwest. And I was like, oh no, these aren't guys. These are the women. These are women, and they're sisters. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the way she titled them, the way she chose to title them that way, I think is part of the cool element of the series itself.
But yes. There's a reason.
Yes.
They have pointings.
Yes, you want to talk about that?
There is a reason. And I think we need to find out whether Janice thinks that's too spoilery.
Okay.
Okay.
Just because I think it is. It could be.
Okay. Well, ask Janice.
If anybody hasn't read the first two books, it might be a little bit spoilery against those. It's not for this one, but I think it might be.
Okay.
We'll ask.
Let's ask.
Let's ask Janice when she joins us in about 18 minutes. So why did everybody read Charlie? Why did we all read this one? Susie, why'd you read Charlie?
At first I didn't read the series. Because I just wasn't my genre. But then you guys said there's a book club and I was like, you know what, I'll give it a try. And I ended up having to read the first two, yes. So
yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever read Secrets of Mountain?
I did not.
Oh, Susie! Stop.
Because of my genre.
It is so your genre. Just don't realize.
Hot guys who do things.
How is that? Not your in the mountains. And badass women. And badass women.
Okay, so let's back up because... You know, what Susie is saying about Secrets of Mountain Men is actually, we in fact did a separate group and we called it the Scaredy Cats. Because when, I mean, I may be talking too much and I'm sorry, but Janice, the original series, Secrets of Mountain Men, was the big series and it just wasn't performing like she wanted it to. And they're amazing books. So we pulled the group, the reader group, and was like, hey, have you read it? Are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And we created a group that to find out what was it that stopped them from reading it. And a lot of people, like myself, because I literally only read it because she pays me. Because I was like, that is not my thing. Not my thing. And guess what?
And it absolutely is.
It absolutely is. One of my favorite series ever.
No, I haven't read it.
Okay, so here's your homework, Susie.
Susie, read it. Because they do things.
They do things. So many things.
So many things.
It really is.
Go watch the Mountain Men TikToks. Because then you will have to read them because
Roland,
it snuck up on me. So I wasn't looking for this. But
it is what it is, but if you read it and you understand why it is what it is,
and things will make
sense. So your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you when we're not on camera, I'll tell you the way.
Okay. I'll have to go back and add it and try to read it.
You'll read it.
You should.
Because you just read it.
You know, I read a lot of PNR, but all the PNR I read was like aliens and stuff. And then reading this one, it was Mountain Men was totally different. And I wasn't looking for that kind of a book even when I read it. It was just, I wanted more Janice because right. I had read all of Alaskan Security. I had read all of the Lost Boys that were out at that point. I'd read all the Cowboys and I was like, well, shit, what's next? And I had read some of her earlier ones too, the ones that she doesn't like to talk about. And I read those too. And I was like, well, shit, what now? So then I think Julie was like, what do you mean you haven't read Mountain Men yet? And I was like, I just haven't gotten there yet. And I read it and I like binged it and I couldn't get enough. And I read it again. So
well, you had a problem because you came from paranormal.
I did. And it wasn't that I had a problem. It was the whole Mountain Man thing. I said the same thing. I was like, it's not my thing. Like I was looking for security. I was looking for more Gemma.
It's Stowe Protector.
But I didn't see it that way.
And it's PNR-ish, but
it's PNR light.
When you look at her origin for this thing,
Yes. Makes me wonder things about my husband.
It's
but I think
her explanation for it
is
for the origin of it is so dead on.
It's so amazing.
And it really makes it less PNR-y
Yeah.
Because it's more genetic ish. Trait.
Ish. Yes. Ish. Ish.
Ish. I think that's why it didn't. That's, I believe, and Janice will, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong. It's why it didn't go over well with paranormal readers, because yes. It wasn't paranormal enough.
Yeah.
But it was too out there
yeah.
for the contemporary romance readers. And yet, it's
but anybody so perfect. Who likes.
It is a sleeper series to me. It's one of those that flies under most people's radar because they don't quite understand what it is. Mm-hmm. And it fits in this gap of not paranormal enough, but too paranormal for others. And it's such a sleeper series because conceptually it's fantastic. It has amazing depth. The themes that run through it are fantastic. Found family, protector, you know, it's the whole small town vibe of mm-hmm. not wanting to sell out things mm-hmm. and become a media circus. Mm-hmm. In both series, because both mm-hmm. series have those elements of it. And read the damn series. Just yes. go read it.
Please read the thing. About them read doing the thing so we can talk about the thing.
All the things.
And by the way, we're not talking about that series.
Right. We're not even talking about Batman, but I can't help because they're so good. So, Charlie. So, why, Ron, why did you read Charlie?
I read Charlie because, like, I'm obsessed with that whole world. I love the Mountain Men. I, like, obsessed. I made excessive amounts of TikTok videos about them. And I like the progression. I also really liked the first two books, the dynamic the first two books set up. Because these girls really overcome misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a level that...
Oh yeah,
it is epic, and they each have their own personality and their own way of dealing with what their origin story is.
Yes,
and I love it, and
because
if you're familiar with Janice Whittaker's Gemma Westbrook, Josie Watts, the women are badasses. And they are in every book. Badass. There's always that badass
mm-hmm.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
So. What woman doesn't want to read about that?
Right,
exactly.
We're all badasses.
They are, yeah, they are serious badasses, and it's like I said. There's that level of independence, and there's that level of I want to be just like you.
Yeah, and I think that it's kind of cool for me coming out of the Secrets of the Mountain Men. Those guys are all really alpha, over the top mm-hmm. protector.
Grumpy, growly. Yeah.
When you go to the Big Northwest series, the juxtaposition where you go from these really alpha guys to these badass women and men who are still really strong,
uh-huh.
but aren't.
Yes.
Who don't have to express their strength by being the dude.
Right.
Yep. You know, like in this book, Adam
they
just knows that they just know. But I
in the first one, I know we're talking about Charlie, but in the first two, the dudes came in thinking they were the dude. And then they were like, maybe I'm not the dude.
That was funny though in Charlie when someone threw a rock through the window.
Yes.
And he's like, you just picked me up.
Right. And she's like, nope, didn't. That's a spoiler, but it's a good one. That didn't happen.
Hey, we said in the beginning
there's spoilers. Yes.
It's worth it.
There's spoilers. Yes. And that is one of those good.
Read it because they do the thing.
They do the thing. I really want us all to be on the same camera. This is like, I'm like, you know, wait, there we are. Look, we're all on the same camera now. But it's what I love about it so much is that, yes, they're women living on their own and they're a group of sisters and they're pretty sheltered and they're really fucking strong. I mean, mentally and physically, maybe not so emotionally. I don't, you know, there's elements and levels of that, but they've always been on their own And the guys that are coming in now have to work their way into their world, right. And, not the other way around.
And Adam is really kind of responsible for where they find themselves in this,
yes.
in this situation.
In the bad.
Yes.
Because they previous to him becoming a part of their deal, him mm-hmm. and his father.
Yeah.
Coming into part of their deal, they were very isolated and they chose to be very isolated
yes.
for their own protection.
Yes.
And Adam and his dad kind of blow that.
They do.
Up.
They do. Adam and his dad originally, and then Adam, they are responsible for everything happening yeah. in this town.
The good and the bad.
To these girls, the good and the bad, what's happening to these women is directly related to them. So having him come in back in book three, I was like, whoa, what the hell's going on here? And it works so well.
I don't think we let Ron answer her favorite question.
Oh, so yeah. Character. So we're talking about Adam. So okay, why do you love
favorite character? Is Adam's mom. Which is really kind of creepy, but
no, yeah. The reason I love it.
Adam's mom shows up, and that's why I like her. There's a situation, and he calls and tells her there's a situation, and she shows up, and she does the thing. This is it. Charlie is my do the thing book
yeah.
because Adam comes and he does the thing. And when he needs help, he calls his mom, and his mom comes and does the mm-hmm. thing. And I really vibe on that because I'm the show up and do the thing, mom. Mm-hmm. And to see that portrayed in a way that wasn't overbearing or controlling, because she really doesn't come in and take control. Mm-mm. She just comes in and fills the gap
mm-hmm.
and does the thing that mm-hmm. they need people to do.
In fact, they're not even really close. Like there's been like a time period when he talks about like they haven't seen each other and yeah. everything else. And
there's a reason for that. It's not because he doesn't love his mom.
Yeah, no. They have baggage. Adam has baggage.
Yeah.
He does. He's got baggage. No, we all have baggage.
All good heroes have baggage.
He's a little damaged. He's got some baggage. And when she comes in, it's just like she's not there to save the day. Mm-hmm. Just like Adam's not there to save the day, but
and yet she gave that warmth and
yes,
feel
yes.
like that was necessary or needed to the women,
mm-hmm.
right?
Who, to the girls, who the sisters
don't have maternal don't have influence in their life,
right?
Haven't had.
Yes, there's not much of a maternal influence.
No maternal you got to. Backstory. We got to find out how much backstory Janice wants us to spill when she comes on.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to spoil it because it's some of that exposition is important in mm-hmm. those first two books.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can read it. Are we going to jump to the standalone?
So let's talk about that a little bit. Do you think this is a standalone? And yes-ish for me. I think you can read it alone as on its own, but I think it's going to be better enjoyed and appreciated if you know the backstory of at least the first two in Big Northwest, even if you don't read Secrets.
I think.
I mean, each couple has their HEA, but there's an overarching plot.
Yeah.
That you may miss pieces of if you don't read the first and second book, but each couple you'll enjoy each book's story.
I think Charlie is more of a standalone than Alex.
Yes.
I think that if you were going to choose of the three, you could start and read the first one. And you would never stop, but that's okay. But if you were going to choose between Alex and Charlie, right? Then mm-hmm. those are the
and Danny, yeah.
Of the of Danny, the
Alex,
yeah. Danny's the first one.
Yes,
Alex is the next one, and then Charlie. If between Alex and Charlie, if you were going to choose one of those to be a standalone,
Charlie,
I think Charlie does more of it because there isn't as much overlap of the sisters'
mm-hmm.
backstories in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the other characters are in there,
but I think
it's not as heavy as they are in the other books. So,
and there, it's not 4,000 words. I mean, 400 pages. So, I mean, you could read all of them in a weekend. I think you could read all three books in a weekend.
You're going to want to.
Yeah, you want to.
You will. You will want to because they do the thing.
Yeah.
You'll be angry because you have to do laundry and cook and all the.
Yeah.
I read them in a weekend.
All three?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could totally read all three of them in a weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you could only read one, I would start at the beginning. But Charlie is really awesome. So you're going to want to read all three. Yeah.
I think so too. That's my theory on it is if you're going to read them, just read them because you'll read Charlie and then you'll want to go back and read the other ones anyway. So you might as well start with the first one and go all the way through.
And if you're going to do that, you might just as well read The Secrets.
Susie. So, but Susie, you did not read Secrets and you read the three of Big Northwest. Did you feel like you were missing anything vital to enjoying the three books in Big Northwest without knowing Secrets?
No, I think you can do it.
I don't think I missed anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you could start Big
but Northwest. But we think that because we've read Mountain Men, but Susie hadn't. So that was curious to see, because you haven't, do you think you still got everything you needed from Big Northwest from book one?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
But you will know more about Danny's man. Mm-hmm. If you go back and read those other ones,
yeah,
he will be a whole different thing.
Yeah. Danny's story was, and I know we're talking about Charlie, but I'm talking about it anyway. Danny's story was, for me, the one I really wanted because I wanted his story.
Yes.
After reading the Mountain Men, I wanted his story, and that just worked out perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because Janice is a fucking master of...
Yes.
Series and interconnected series and bringing all the things together, and she knows how to make it all work, and she knows how to make you want the next book.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so excited that she uses pen names, because I can have a favorite for Janice and I can have a favorite for Gemma.
Oh, good, she's here, so we can even talk about that. That's a good segue. So Janice is going to join us as soon as there we go. She's connecting to audio. Can you hear us, Janice? You're on mute. There she is.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
We can only stuff turned on. Everything is turned off.
We can hear you. Can you hear all of us? So, Julie, go ahead, because you're furthest away from the microphone. Say hi.
Hi.
Yes. Sweet, which is good because we've been recording for half an hour already, and if we couldn't hear Julie, that would kind of suck.
You would have to go back in and put in just random things.
Julie'd have to overdub herself. Producer practice. So Janice, thank you for joining us. This is so awesome.
I know, I'm excited.
So we have questions because, you know, there's always questions, but I want to give you a chance to go ahead and introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and then we can go from there.
Okay. I am Janice Whitaker. That's my for real's name. I write romance of varying subgenres as myself, as Gemma Westbrook, and as Josie Watts.
Yay.
Is that good enough?
Yes,
we'll go with that for now. Yes.
Okay.
So
I figured we would cover sort of everything else in the questions. So
yes. And that actually jumps into something we were just talking about right before, was Ron had brought up that they're the pen names.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn Janice up? Yes. We can, hold on. I have to elevate.
That's
all right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was saying that I'm so glad that you use pen names, because then I can have a favorite for each name, and you as a person, I have three favorites and I don't feel guilty about it.
It's a loophole in the system.
It's a loophole.
But it's a nice one because it does help differentiate. Yes. Because you have three different styles that you write, and you know, we've talked with other authors who just use one name, and then it's because they write one thing. And then they want to branch out, and it's like, okay, now what? So, all right, I don't even remember if I had this in the notes to you, but I'm going to ask you, because I know you talk about this all the time. Why do you have three names you write under?
So I sort of ended up using my pen names. I always use Nabisco. Poor Julie's heard this story like 5 million times, but it really explains sort of how I approach pen names the best. So Nabisco is a snack food company. They make snack foods. And so I write romance. Romance is sort of like my snack food. But Nabisco brands their snacks in different ways. So consumers know what they're getting when they pick up a particular snack food. They have Oreos, which are chocolate sandwich cookies. They have Chips Ahoy, which are chocolate chip cookies. And they have Fig Newtons, right? So if you pick up a Nabisco cookie, if that was just how they branded it, and you wanted an Oreo, but you picked up a Fig Newton, you would be understandably disappointed. So I use... to sort of help readers know what they're going to be getting from me as an author, because they are a little different, and it makes it easier for a reader to know what they're going to be getting inside the package. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the simplest explanation I've come up with.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it's great.
It's perfect because it does help differentiate.
Right. So.
If they don't like cookies, they shouldn't say anything because they might get dragged for not liking cookies. Who doesn't like cookies?
Right. Exactly.
And it's interesting because one of the questions I had for us was this the first book you've read? And if not, what was your first Janice book? And my first Janice book was not a Janice book. It was a Gemma book.
Yeah.
So I discovered you through romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. And then moved into the contemporary with your real name. But my first Janice book wasn't even a Janice book. It was a Gemma book.
Yeah.
Westbrook's was, I think yours was also. Susie, you too. And yeah. Julie, what was the first book you read by Janice?
Collateral Damage.
Was it? There you go. Gemma.
Because you were, when you hired me, Counterfeit Relation was about to be released.
Right.
So I went back. I'm like, I better know something about this series.
So we all started with Oreos.
Yes. And the good thing is that my writing style is pretty consistent. So if you are in the mood for a cookie, you'll like my books. It just depends on what kind of cookie you're in the mood for.
Mm-hmm.
I write low angst. I write, powerful women. I write consistent men. My men are usually nice guys. Sometimes they're a little bit grumpy, but by and large, they're all nice guys. And so if you like cookies, you'll like my books across the board. The different names just sort of help you know this is contemporary, this is romantic suspense, and this is rom-com.
Right. And I'm going to say that your mountain men are a little bit more than a little grumpy. They, I think they hold the grumpy top spot in your books.
But
that's why I love them so much, because they are so grumpy.
This is a Charlie book club, and we've talked about the mountain men.
Yes.
A good portion of it.
Because Susie hasn't read them, and we're going to make her it's a homework assignment.
So let's do favorite quotes, because I always like doing the quotes. When we first did book club, we did quotes before the authors came on. And then we were like, no, let's do it with the authors, because I think it was Carissa said she likes to hear what we resonate with. So well,
it probably helps us remember too.
Yeah. Yes. Because you've been working on many things since.
Yes.
So, which is also another question we'd get to, but so let's, what's the matter?
Her leg is cramping up.
Oh God, we are like moving all over the place because
that's okay.
Okay, Janice, real quick. We got surprised.
Okay.
This morning, 7 o'clock this morning, I'm in bed. There,
I saw the post.
Susie's here. Yep.
She's like, "Well, I got good news. I got bad news." I'm like, "Well, give me the bad first." And she's like, "I'm not going to be able to Zoom with you today." Oh no, why? And she's like, because I'm gonna be there live.
I love how evil she set that up to be at the beginning. That is fantastic.
Wait, the worst part is I knew since Friday and they had no idea.
Yeah. We've been here all week. Yeah, we've been here all weekend thinking that she's home, not feeling good. And
yes.
We feel so bad. We wanted to have a little stick Susie to carry around with us.
And she's plotting.
And she's plotting.
Yes. To be here. This is the power of the girl gang.
Yes. I love it.
So, and that's all your fault. The girl gang's your fault too. Yeah. So, okay. So quotes. Who wants to go first on quotes?
Well, Julie's going to steal mine, but go ahead.
You want to start with that one?
Well, it is so, so Janice. Live, laugh, love. Don't be a cunt.
And do the backstory on that one, because there is a little bit of where that comes from, like how it's presented in the story. It's different.
So Charlie loves to craft. She's just this big crafter, which Janice knows this, but I guess we're explaining this for the
That's
people.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
But she likes to put snarky stuff, cross-stitch snarky stuff. And Adam is trying to organize her sloppy mess of an office. And he sees this cross-stitch that's hanging behind all this other stuff. And that's kind of where it started.
But it's live, love, live, laugh, love. And that's crossed out.
Yeah.
Well, and underneath it, it says that. So, and actually I love to cross-stitch. So I'm going to find some Aida fabric in my closet. And I have to make this now because I love it so much.
Better than the don't do cocaine in the bathroom one.
Yes.
Which is my favorite.
Yes.
Those are fantastic.
I'd like to like make up a whole bunch of those and put them around in my friends' houses.
Yes. Just randomly leave them somewhere. Wait for them to find them.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Susie, what's your favorite?
Just because we haven't met her in person doesn't mean we don't know her. Another woman joined in and she deserves to be protected.
Yes. That's when they're standing in line, right?
Yes.
Outside the shop. And there's this element of we don't have to know her to want the best for her.
Yes.
Which is a central theme in a lot of your books. Mm-hmm. Of you don't have to know someone personally to want the best for them. Mm-hmm. But don't cross them because they're going to watch out for them and protect them too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have another one, Ron?
No, I did. No? I like the bathroom and the don't do cocaine in the bathroom.
I stole it. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. That it's all good.
It's cool. It's fine.
But Charlie, that kind of cross stitch, she's like my spirit animal because those are the kinds of things I do, you know, stealthily for my sisters.
Yes.
I have a couple and I'm going to read some of them because these are ones that I highlighted and I was like, I really like just that you have a way when I'm reading things of having a really deep thought couched in something that is relatable, maybe a little snarky, brings in some humor. And I love this one where Adam's saying, I outweigh you by at least 50 pounds. He groaned a little as he pushed to his feet. I'm the one who should be helping you up. And this is after the rock, right? Yep, we talked about that earlier. Charlie rolled her eyes. Now probably isn't the best time to get your misogyny everywhere.
Yes.
And I absolutely love that because she knows things he doesn't know.
Yes.
He doesn't know enough to know
what he doesn't know.
What he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Everybody get that?
Yes. And then she drew him in like no one else ever had, made him willing to take on his own monsters and fight to be better than he was. Also, he could be good enough to stand at her side, good enough to fill her bed and her body. I was like,
chills.
Damn. Yes. Total chills. Because there's that. What? What?
You read this.
I was just being 12 over here.
You read good enough. You read good enough to fill her bed and her body. And do it.
No, I didn't feel like it's going to be blocked out already once, and now Michelle's going to have to find it twice.
I'm going to have to do another playback. I will catch it on the playback because it's all being recorded.
Being so inappropriate.
Have you met us?
We're good friends.
There's nothing inappropriate here.
There's nothing appropriate about us, but no.
We put a disclaimer at the beginning, you know, turn the volume down if your kids are in the next room. Maybe not watch it right now.
Yeah.
I had to go yell at my kids. They're right outside the door playing the Oculus. And they get very loud and very inappropriate in their own right. And I'm like, listen, you better shut up. Because if I hear you, I'm going to be so mad.
Tell them anything they say will be broadcast to everybody who's watching this, and everybody will know.
They're going to know
your moms.
Yeah.
They'll have a whole bunch of moms coming down on them.
Exactly.
So it's been a while since the last big Northwest book.
Yes.
And why so long between book two and book three, and why did you go back to it?
So it's funny because there's this amazing chick named Becca Syme, who she really has delved into the psychology that a lot of us authors function with. And I was at a conference and she did a discussion about how she's trying to help find the basic way all authors work so we can help ourselves be better. And she has discovered there's, you know, author types, like how you write, and then there's author paths, how you get there. And the paths are people who like to go on the plane, who they like to get there as fast as they can, one direct route. There's people who like the highway, who like to have a little more control over their destiny, but still want to get there fast. And there's people who take the scenic route, and then there's hikers. And I am in life and in writing a scenic route person. And I think I need that difference. I need something new and exciting to sort of fuel my creativity. A lot of authors will write the same series, boom, 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 and then move to the next one and boom, 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 boom. And I cannot do that. I would be like, these people are boring. Like, I don't even care about them anymore. I don't want to hang out here. Ugh. So I tend to bounce around a lot. And I sort of have to go with whatever I'm feeling. But this is also my job. So I sort of have to also try to go with what my readers are feeling. And unfortunately, the Mountain Men and the Big Northwest, while it does have a very, I don't know what the word is, they have a group of readers who are viciously in love with it.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that group at this point is not huge. So I have to, career-wise, feed the series that have the bigger groups, the bigger angry groups, more. So my cowboys are one of those groups. The Alaskan Security, which you guys all found me through, is one of those groups. So those are the primary series that I have to feed. And then I sort of feed my other series when it fits into my schedule. And somehow I had this year all screwed up and didn't end up with a gap for Charlie until the fall. So that is when she sort of fit in there. I hope I have a better plan from here on out, but I'm not sure it will lead to any faster releases, but at least there will be a method to my madness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long that lasts, though.
And it's interesting that you keep track of these things, so you have a bead on what series are being read, what's popular, what people are calling for.
Yeah.
I didn't put this in the questions, and Julie, you may know this better. I don't know. Did you see more of a surge in people reading Mountain Men once you announced that Charlie was coming out?
No.
Okay.
Mountain Men sort of performs consistently, but the problem is that because it is not, it doesn't really hit any specific subgenres expectations. I wrote this book because I had this weird idea and waited until I felt like I was a strong enough writer to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before I really understood tropes. It was before I understood universal fantasies. It was before I really knew what reader expectation was. I was sort of slow on the pickup marketing wise. Because I had a limited amount of time and I focused it all on writing books and my craft. And so once I started really understanding how reader expectation worked, I was like, well, shit, because I had screwed up a lot. And so the Secrets of Mountain Men, I originally branded, if you were there in the beginning, as the big series, and loved the covers, loved the whole big thing. But the problem was that readers who wanted the sort of sci-fi paranormal aspect of it, it wasn't giving them as much as they wanted. It was letting them down, because they're like, isn't she gonna do him while he's a beast? What's happening here? And I, because I had no clue. And so I don't give them what they want. So if they pick up book one, they're like, meh. And contemporary readers pick it up and they're like, what? He turns into a beast? Oh my gosh, she's an empath. I'm uncomfortable right now. So it's sort of like,
don't be uncomfortable, Susie, I promise.
Yes. That's where Susie is right now. She's like, what? It's a hard sell. It is a very hard sell. And the demographic for it is pretty limited. So, yeah.
When you started talking about rebranding the series, how we created a group for people like Susie, people like myself, because yeah. I mean, at that point I had read them because, you know, you paid me to.
It's true.
Really, seriously, she didn't care if I ever read a book of hers. She's just like, I just need help. I just need you to work with me. Yeah. I'm like, I need to know your books. But anyway, so yeah, I think there's a group of people like myself, like Susie, who that's a little out there for us. But once you dive into it, it's so perfect.
Yeah. And then you've got the two of us who come from a paranormal world. Fantasies is our kind of our jam. And I absolutely think your origin concept is brilliant.
I've read
other paranormal stuff that, you know, that was more heavy into to the paranormal aspects, but your explanation for it should take all of the paranormal problems off the table for anybody, because it is brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The guys do the thing. People go read the thing.
That's it. Cause you know, when I started reading it, I wasn't looking for PNR. You know, I came, like you said, my first probably 6 months of reading romance was all paranormal until I got into romantic suspense. So when I started jumping into that, I was like, ooh, this has that little tingly element of paranormal. I don't want a full PNR book, but I love that little element of it to say there's something extra, there's something more. And it it does go back to the origin story of, it's not like they were, you know, struck by a meteor. It's not magic. It's not that they're from another planet. It has a solid origin that makes you understand why it fits into contemporary and why it fits into PNR.
And I think that readers who like historical Viking things, this is a natural progression for being able to dive into some contemporary stuff, more contemporary stuff, because that's kind of the vibe that it hit for me was, oh, this is like transferred into this. This is cool. You know, and all of the romance elements are there. They're solid. It's, it's protector and it's alpha and it's all of those things and the strong women.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and see, to me, that's what did it too, was it wasn't all reliant on the men being the be all end all because they could do the thing.
Right.
It was them having a partnership with a woman and a found family element that was able to say, we can do the things and we can be who we are because of who else is with us.
Yes.
And then when you branched into Big Northwest, I saw that with them also, where now it's the women who do the thing and they need the strong men who can come in and accept that they're not doing the thing.
And not be threatened by it.
And not be threatened by it.
And not be threatened by it. For a guy who owns his masculinity through being a partner rather than being
the boss. The protector.
It's not really protector, because he does all those. I mean, he does. The guys are all those
things.
They
all have protective vibes.
But their alphaness isn't based on being dominant.
Right.
It's about being partnered. Yep. And I think that's really the vibe for the Big Northwest thing that works for me.
Yeah.
But I think that I have the disclaimer. I was very new into the TikTok thing when I read the secrets thing. And I'm also a really busy PA and should be doing other things that I should.
But she didn't, because she was doing
18 hours making TikTok videos for this Secrets of the Mountain Men books, because I adore the series so much. And it's paranormal. This is it. But don't let it freak you out, because the men do the thing. They do the thing.
Yes. It's so difficult, because, you know, when you market books, you need to be relatively straightforward. Here's what you're getting. Here is the thing that you like. This is what you're going to get in it. It's going to make you happy. And so with The Mountain Men, it's like, well, it sort of has this thing you like, and it sort of has this other thing you like, and it sort of has this other thing you like, but they all come together, and readers are like,
I think that the target reader for Secrets is the romance reader who likes the idea of having somebody growl in their ear. That's the target market, because boy, did those guys growl.
Right? Yes.
And it kisses up against you're not gonna blue ice pirate multi-part thing. No. But it kisses up against that something supernatural, but it's really seated in that he growled in my ear and everything went melty.
Yes. All the tingles.
That's a new TikTok right there.
Yes.
When the guy growls in your ear.
And you become a puddle of goo.
We just need to find a good song.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah. And I think that the opposite is true in Big Northwest. That if you are looking for a guy who will growl in your ear and not be afraid when you growl back.
That was one of my favorite scenes. Because,
you know, they're
you just growl. Yes.
That was my stomach.
Yes. parallelism. The partnerships in Big Northwest are so, they dovetail together. I mean, the guys are strong, but the women are strong, and neither one is intimidated by the fact that they're both strong together. So yep. As a unit, it's elevated.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't find that in a lot of, I mean,
not that that's almost protector work,
but not in generally in protector work, you don't get that really dynamic female.
Mm-hmm.
And
not one that's going
to when you tend to be the alpha person in your life.
Yeah.
Not feeling representative in romances is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Big Northwest for us, because we are all take charge, get her done kind of girls, it makes us feel represented. And that's very cool.
And that we can still have guys who appreciate the fact that we're going to growl at them back and still love them. And
not just to love them, but love them because of that.
Yes.
Yes. And that's, it's hokey, but I have that guy because I'm not a passive woman, and he wanted someone who had opinions, somebody who would say what she thought, because he's very growly and he makes a frowny face all the time. He's very intimidating. And the fact that I wasn't intimidated by him was a big part of the appeal, I think. He is a marshmallow. That's why you see
especially
a lot of
with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found that guy too. I mean, you've seen John in action with that too. He's growly, but he's a marshmallow.
Yes,
he gets it. You got that. Yes. Yeah, we've all got that. I'm looking at all of us going, yes, I've met your husband. I've met, yes, we all have that.
We could live in the Big Northwest.
Yes.
It's cold. I won't live there. It's too cold.
Either. We need the big Florida, big Everglades. That's what we need.
Oh, geez.
New series coming soon.
Don't do that to me. I have a whiteboard that says I'm not allowed to start any new series, but it stares at me every day, so I don't.
How's that working out?
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
It's been okay for a while.
I'd say Sweet Side Everglade. Sweet Side Big Everglade.
Crossover you didn't know you needed.
But we all want. So Sweet Side isn't that far. I mean, that's the Gulf Coast of Florida. It's just a little couple miles south. You hit Alligator Alley. Yeah. You could do that. Beautiful. So favorite scene. You talk about the growly part. Do you have a favorite scene in Charlie?
So it's funny because I was talking to my sister about this last night. I'm like, they want to know my favorite scene, and I would have to go back through the book.
Okay.
Because it's kind of funny. I'm kind of okay, I'm done, bye. And I'm at the risk of sounding like I'm in love with Becca Syme, she has you take this test that tells you about your strengths. It's called the Clifton Strength Test, because so many personality tests point out your weaknesses so you can shore them up. This talks about your strengths. My number one strength is that I am futuristic. Number one thing that I am about is the future. So when I'm done with a book, bye, it's in the past and I'm moving on to the next guy. So my sister was like, what about the part where he runs out of Alex and Edward's house in the middle of the night?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the noises. Yep.
Because things are happening.
Yep.
Yes. And it's awkward. So my actual favorite scene, I think, and I think it's one of Michelle's favorites too, because it sort of is
Adam.
Adam, thank you. And it's where Charlie walks in the next morning after he's run away from Alex and Edward and finds him propped up at her desk with his feet kicked up and her cat all over him snoring. And she's like, I don't know what happened here, but things are weird.
Mm-hmm. And that was, I do love that scene because it's that he presents himself as one way and then he's like, I'm just going to do it myself. So it's not like he goes to find like to someone else's house. He's like, fine, I'll just go there and I'll do the things. And then he's sitting there, the feet propped up, and she walks in and he's snoring and the cats are covering him. And he's just like totally out of it and couldn't care less.
And it was sort of,
and
the point of it was to show, it was a visual representation of the fact that he was capable of fitting into her world.
Yes.
And she needed to see that. Mm-hmm. She needed to see that he was like right there on a platter. Yep. He can be in her world because that's what it comes down to. These girls can't go. They won't go. Their sense of, I want to say family, is too strong. They mm-hmm. are a team. They are not leaving, except for James. James does whatever she wants to do.
James.
That's it.
We were like,
we're like counting. James. It's like, this is somebody.
And I thought we were missing one.
Yeah, I tried to bring James back in Charlie's book, but there, I just ran out of, there was nowhere to organically make her come home. So like,
she
I know why nobody can find her. And she's coming back. She's just, she didn't fit in anywhere yet. But yeah, the girls aren't going to leave Shadow Pine. They're mm-hmm. a unit. This is it. They're not going anywhere. So anybody who they end up with has to come to them and has to fit in their world.
So, and if the cats are going to lay all over him, obviously they have accepted him.
Yeah.
And therefore, because she's so tied to her cats and her pets, there's that kind of bridge of, okay, well, if an animal that's usually going to hide from everybody and not accept anyone in their world they don't explicitly trust, mm-hmm. and they're just draped all over him, and he doesn't care. Like, he's not shooing them off of him. He's not complaining about the cat hair. He's just kind of like, fine, I'm a cat tree. That's it.
This is fine. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I did love that. That one and the one where she growls and he's like, did you growl at me? And she's like, no. Yeah. That is, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And she growls at everybody. Charlie's over it.
Yes.
Like when this book starts, Charlie's like, she's like so far over everything. She's back under it again. And so she growls at everybody all the time because she's just in a bad mood. It's sort of a little bit of a twist on a reverse Grumpy Sunshine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I loved about that also, because the guy's always the grump.
Yes.
But yeah, you're right. She's over it. She's over all of it. She's so done. Mm-hmm. And I love that she always blames it on her stomach. She's like, no, I'm just hungry.
And I kind of like the guys that are, that join the unit, that mm-hmm. hook up, more than hook up, but that become part of the family, bring people with them and each time their world gets just a little bit mm-hmm. bigger,
mm-hmm.
almost by accident. I mean, you've got Edward and
it's organic.
It's growing and expanding their world in a way that is not so threatening that they can't allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that mm-hmm. speaks to a greater healing that needs to happen to them.
Right.
And it's giving them a sense of family outside of the sisters,
yeah.
which they've never really had.
Right.
I think that's why I like Adam's mom, is that she comes in and she fills this void for these women who have been take charge, take care of themselves, fuck the patriarchy. With absent of that mm-hmm. maternal instinct. And she just, without making it a deal, without being a thing, she just provides that
mm-hmm.
place, that soft spot.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was cool for me.
It was important to me too that it wasn't a one-sided deal. Mm-hmm. So I wanted it to also be clear that these girls were giving all their parental figures that come in what they needed, you know. Kenneth and Jeffrey,
love them so much. I was just thinking about them.
Our dads, They are made to be dads. And, you know, back when they adopted Edward, that wasn't a super easy thing to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So for them to have been able to adopt more would have been difficult, even with, you know, Kenneth, you know, with them being financially stable. It just wasn't an easy thing. So for them to finally get this big family they would have always wanted, and not mm-hmm. just that, but a big family that needed them.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the same thing for Adam's mother. You know, she wanted so much to still be close with him, but she knew it was painful for him. So she backed off, because for her, it was about giving him what he needed, even though she desperately wanted more.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to get back everything and more. I wanted her to not just get Adam, but to get more people who she could mother and take care of the way she liked to. So that way she would sort of get back what she missed.
Right. I think that I know that it technically happened in Alex's book, but that they get that the girls mm-hmm. all get get parental figures who are trustworthy and mm-hmm. who are show up and who are doing all of those things for them
yep.
that they can accept, and that happens within a gay relationship mm-hmm. is
like, yes, and you see it even
a word worthy
Charlie's. Yeah, I mean, because they come in and in Edwards, you see it more in Charlie's. You see the development of them as characters. You see the protective side, the nurturing side, right. the side of parents that they should have seen and never right. have.
Right.
You know, what they never got, because their experience is way different yeah. than what most people would have and what you would expect to have.
Yeah.
And they are who they are because of that. They do mm-hmm. what they do because of that. So it gives them a chance to grow also and mm-hmm. to, you know, figure out that, you know, we talk a little bit in other books also about vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to show any vulnerabilities if you have to constantly protect yourself from mm-hmm. your dad, outsiders, the world. You know, there's a sense of vulnerability that you have because of your experiences, and then you can't show any of it, but you need to honor it in some way. So the guys, I think, do the best job at that. They are the ones that come in and honor that vulnerability and allow them to be who they are, but at the same time, don't make them feel like they're less than
right
because of it.
Right.
So yeah. Did I just go way too deep? Did I just like...
No. And okay. I think I tried, you know, these girls had been on their own for so long, and it was important. They wouldn't have trusted Kenneth and Jeffrey immediately.
Nope.
So the first one, you know, in book one, when Craig comes in, none of them trust him. They want to run him out of town. They want to dump him in the woods. They want to get rid of him at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to people being scared of that. They're 6 foot tall, you know, blonde, aggressive women. They're used to men, you know, having two reactions to them. And, you know, the men who have one reaction, they can, you know, dispose of easily, or they're scared. And so when the first guy just keeps coming back, they're a little confused, honestly, and they don't know how to handle it. And that's sort of his leg up on them, is to just keep showing up, because no one has ever kept showing up for them.
Yeah.
He's tad tenacious.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Just a little bit of a bulldog. Uh-huh.
And they kind of don't know how to react to that. And so he sort of breaks that barrier a little bit. And then their brother comes in, and they're kind of like, okay. And he brings Edward. So they sort of end up accidentally trusting people because they sort of sneak in and just don't go away.
Yeah. And don't do harm.
They keep showing up. They continue to show up and be consistent. And the girls kind of don't know how to react to that and accidentally end up trusting them because of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's an interesting concept of showing up, because I think it's something that a lot of us have dealt with, where you lose trust because people come in and then they leave. And then that concept of continually showing up, and you're like, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to them because they're just going to leave like everybody else. Or I'm not going to trust them because they're just going to harm me like everyone else. But then they keep showing you that they're not going to do that, that they keep showing up, and that level of showing up and showing up and showing up. And it's, you know, on some level, they want to say, just go away. Just get the fuck out of here. You don't belong here. But on another level, they're like, shit, I didn't know it could be like this.
Exactly.
And I think that for any woman that's ever felt like they were just too much, you know, when you know, I'm just too much, too outspoken, too strong, too self-willed, any of those things. I think the underlying desire is to have a guy say, not too much for me. And that's what these guys do is, yeah, bring it.
Yep.
You're not too much for me. You're a lot.
Right.
You're a lot. But you're not too much for me, you know, and and then prove it. I think that
again and again and again. Yeah,
that's the one of the themes that vibrate.
Yeah. So I know it's been a long weekend.
Sorry.
So was there a difficult part for you to write in this?
All the hard part of my books is always the same. Hard part. Sex scenes. Julie listens to me complain about it every time. Sex scenes are my worst nightmare.
Weren't we just talking about this morning? Yes.
I frequently will write a whole book and skip them and then go back and just write them all at once.
And she's grouching the whole time.
Because you have to get so much done in a sex scene, because you don't want it to just be gratuitous, or I don't. My books don't generally have gratuitous sex. So if you're looking for five spicy, lots of that, my sex has to always have a purpose and an advancement. And so sex scenes in general are hard because you have to remember how many clothes everybody still has on. Physically, you have to keep in mind, do most people stretch this way? You know, you have to try to make it sound hot, like something most women are going to enjoy. You can't forget about the penis, because you have to also do things with that. And it has to be emotionally impactful.
Yes.
They need to end the scene here instead of back here. So you have to further the story, further the emotional development, further the intimacy, and deal with the nuts and bolts of a penis going into a vagina in a different way that you've never written before.
Right.
Because if you write the same sex scene over and over again, then readers are going to be like,
right.
So Julie, what are you looking for? Orders.
What are you doing?
Sign.
Oh, Julie has to plug in. She's got.
She's got a.
She has to insert slot.
Yes. So the sex scenes are always the answer to any book is the sex scene.
Yeah.
Yes. But as I have said all morning,
yes,
they do the thing.
They do the thing.
And they do it well.
Yeah. And that is something we've had a conversation with this weekend with a couple of other authors that I was talking to also, is there is a difference between, like you said, gratuitous sex and sex and intimacy and passion. And, you know, it's, I would much rather, and I read everything except for clean, sweet, whatever. I love everything, even up to erotica. But when I'm reading a contemporary or something that has the connection, that's so much more important to me than they have sex, then they have sex, then they have sex. I want to know where the spark comes from. I want to know where the energy is building. I want to know how how he eats a sandwich. I want to know.
We have to talk about it. I tell Julie, we talk about this all the time. Sex does not equal intimacy.
Right.
Readers, I know it sounds insane. Readers are not there to read about a penis going into a vagina.
No.
They are not.
Nope.
They're not. They are there to read about the intimacy and the connection that results in a very connected scene of fornication.
Yes.
So it is not the penis going into the vagina that romance readers love. They love everything that happens around it. Now, erotica is amazing, and there is absolutely a time and a place to just read about that.
Yep.
But in romance, readers want the bubble around the fornication. They're there for the bubble, not the penetration.
Yep.
Right.
It's the emotion. Yep. It's the connection. Yeah. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Not interested. I couldn't care less about that. But
there are times where that is an impactful way for something to happen. So I have read scenes where it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, but there's a reason.
Yes, there has to be a reason. Yes, it's not just, you know, closet sex. It's what was
we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. Yes, and that's
to be an investment.
Yes, sweet romance I struggle with because it's hard to get that. There's something about the vulnerability. It's hard. I keep saying hard. The vulnerability and the emotion that you can convey during a fully intimate scene that you can't without it.
Right. And I think that you need those pieces so that the vulnerability doesn't scare people away.
Yeah.
Because especially strong women.
Yes.
And that's really, I think that's the pool of women who are going to be drawn to the Big Northwest series are women who aren't intimidated by themselves, but they also don't always readily accept their vulnerability because vulnerability is a tough thing. So if you're going to try to take, if you're trying to get your character to embrace that vulnerability, you have to get them there in a way that doesn't scare off them or anybody who's reading about them, because so there needs to be an investment that says, I can trust you with this.
Yep.
And if you're bringing your readers along with your, with the character's experience, and you're hoping that they're going to feel something from that, then you have to recognize that vulnerability is scary, and there has to be support for that. And I think you do that very well.
Yes, definitely. So I had other questions, but most of them we've covered in talking about the other things. And except for, okay, so how have your life experiences influenced your writing and your characters?
So I did hair for 20 years. And I'm sure all of you go to the hairdresser, and people will sit down in your seat and confess every sin, every thought, every hope, every dream, everything. And so I had 20 years of listening to thousands of people tell me their deepest, darkest, and why, and what they really thought. They will tell you the truth. They won't tell their families. They won't tell their friends. And so I really got like a super long class on human behavior and the whys, because the why is what matters. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize, is when you read a book, what matters has actually already happened. You're reading the response and how the characters deal with what's already happened. So the first half of any book is already done. It's not even written. So before you start a book. And so I had years and years of listening to people tell me, you know, the before and the after. So I have so many scenarios that I've heard from all kinds of different people, you know, and how they reacted to it and why they reacted that way. And I think that has been more beneficial to me than anything else in understanding how other people think. So I can then make characters that are authentic,
mm-hmm.
because I've heard, because if you only know your own experiences, it's hard. It's hard to really branch out.
Yep.
And so that, I think, was probably the most helpful thing that could have happened.
And you do create really authentic characters, and it's hard to come up with new characters if you don't know people who you can base them on. So I would imagine having that much background where you can pull and
bits and pieces.
Oh, I love that. That's
and
cool.
And it's funny because a lot of my characters, I can tell you who I sort of picked from to create them.
And so some of your clients might be seeing themselves in a book but not even know it. Or maybe they do.
Or maybe they do, exactly. And, you know, the other thing is always, always, always there's a grain of every writer in every book, in every character, mm-hmm. usually. It's sort of how we connect. Mm-hmm. And so that you have to have some sort of, you have to be able to see some sort of yourself in them so you can really relate to them and what they do and what they think. So, and books for most writers are our therapy. It's how we deal with, you know, things that we have gone through. So I have coped, like I have worked through, oh my gosh, so many things through these books. And that's amazing that they help not just readers, but they really help the writers as well.
Becomes a really powerful level of catharsis to be able to see something and get something out and make it part of something else. So
yes.
I think sometimes it's easier for us to recognize things when we see it in something else rather than in ourselves. So that when you talk about putting all these things together, are you a pantser or are you a planner?
So I am probably what I would call at this point a progressive planner.
Okay.
When I start a book, I usually know what happened before. I usually know what has made my characters who they are when the book starts. So why that helps me know why they're reacting and doing what they do. A lot of times I know the basic arc, you know, what's going to happen. I know how it's going to end in a very general term. And then as I go, I will progressively write down, okay, this needs to happen now. This needs to happen now. So I don't sit down and plot a whole book at once, but I do map it out.
Okay.
I have a whole graph done up of chapters and where my midpoint is, where my pinch points are, where my plot points happen. So that way I sort of use it as a guide.
Mm-hmm.
to follow, so I can make sure I hit the proper storytelling point
mm-hmm.
throughout the book.
That makes a really cohesive story too. Yeah. But it still gives you freedom if something decides, if a character decides they're going to go left when you thought it should go right.
Yes. And you can always come up with a better idea, period. End of story. You can always come up with a better idea. So if I'm on chapter 3, and I thought I was going to do this. And I'm like, what if I do this? I will 100% pivot and change trajectory. If I come up with a better idea, I will follow it. I will cut out thousands of words. If I get a better idea, I don't care. I'm lucky in that I'm not overly attached to my books. So I'll murder whatever needs murdered to make it better.
Except for the good guys.
Except, right, yes. I'm not going to kill anybody people like. Some people need killing, and I'll kill them 100%. But I'm not going to kill anybody readers like, or dogs.
Thank you.
That's a spoiler. So if you've ever read any of my, if you ever read my books and there's a dog, the even if you think the dog's going to die, he doesn't die.
Yes.
I just can't do it.
The dog always survives.
I have a dog.
Yes.
In the Lost Boys series, Hank is based on one of my dogs who was one of my favorite dogs ever in the history of the universe. And he died very young, devastated me. And so he gets to live. That's
good.
There you go.
Forever.
Very right
forever.
There.
I love that.
Shot protecting his owner. And so my cousin calls me and she's like, you better not have freaking killed Hank. And she's like, I know you didn't because it's Hank, but still.
Right. I remember that too. I think yes. I was ready. Same thing. That was one of those moments where I went, she wouldn't. And this is Janice. She wouldn't.
No.
And then I was able to open the book back up.
Yes. She would not. She did not kill Hank. Could,
no.
Could not, would not. Yes. Yes.
So it's, we have been, almost, we've been on almost an hour. This is amazing. I love this because I just looked at the clock and I went, oh crap. But we have some rapid fire questions. So guys, look at your doc because I put what?
She needs to discuss the sandwich.
Yeah. We need to talk about the sandwich. Sandwich. Okay. Thank you. All right. Talk about the sandwich.
So my daughter's grown. So please don't think this is anything wrong, but as a child of a mother who writes romance, who writes sex for a living, I'm very open about certain things, right? And so I'm like, Emma, she shows, I find this TikTok one day of this guy and it's, he's sitting, eating, like devouring it. And I'm like, and the point of the TikTok was that I bet this is a good sign. And so I show my daughter and I'm like, here's what you need to do. And so she's like, I even could figure that out. So we have joked forever now. It's, you got to know how he eats a sandwich first. And it was all fun and games until she noticed how my husband eats a sandwich. And then it was less of an amusing situation for her. But up until then, it was great. So that I can't hear Julie. Yes. So that is where that sort of came from, in that, you know, if he's not scared to get all up in there, then he's not going to be scared to get all up in there.
I love that so much.
Exactly.
And it's that, you know, some books, there's an element that it's like essential to the story, but it's not essential to the story, but it becomes this point of, I think for us, it has just become this,
yes.
The sandwich lives all on its own at this point. It has its own element of perfection within the romance world.
Yeah. Because if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
If we had not eaten right before, like we went on, we were planning on eating sandwiches during this, but we were all too full.
So instead, we're going to do a TikTok challenge.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yes. So look out for the TikTok challenge.
Okay.
We're going to do this.
You eat a
sandwich. How do you eat a sandwich? And just not give any context. Just.
Well, I would think for you guys, it should be corn dogs, right?
So we're going to get the guys to eat the sandwiches.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. Oh, do they know what's happening going in?
No. Just how do you eat a sandwich?
Oh, no.
Just a sandwich challenge. All right, guys.
Oh,
show us
no.
How you eat a sandwich.
Show us how you eat a sandwich.
And if he grabs for the napkin.
And,
if he's like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, tell him.
Just throw him away. Throw the whole man
TikTok.
Away.
TikTok. There's so, like, we have
reaction. Yes.
And then we hear the buzzer.
Throw the whole man away. Whole thing.
Good.
Oh,
that's Judy. Blank,
left,
Julie.
Blank, right.
Straight on to the next round. But it has become this level of. We just went away even before this. I think watching my husband eat a sandwich. Okay.
Oh, tell about
my husband
knows to give a name.
He knows how to eat a sandwich, but he never uses a napkin. And when I'm reading that, I'm like,
explains a lot.
Yeah. Uncle.
About what?
Your cousin's dad.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah. So my uncle reads all my books. My books were the first books he'd read since high school.
Wow.
So he reads them all. He's always like, when is there going to be another book coming out? And so his daughters were over at his house for dinner right after Charlie came out, and they were sitting there, and he was like, so I feel a little self-conscious now when I eat. And I said, the next date he goes on, he's going to order a sandwich, and he's going to be like,
all up in there.
And he's not going to come home. That's what's going to happen. She's going to be like,
bingo.
Check, bingo, please, let's go.
Hit the buzzer. What's the one on, like, it's not American Idol. It's the other one. America's Got Talent. Buzzer. The golden buzzer. With this, yes, just straight through.
Yeah. 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 So I felt a little bad about that. My poor uncle.
But now at least he knows, you know, he's kind of in the know. My husband just kind of looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, it's a book thing. He's like, I don't even want to know.
I'm surprised that more men haven't realized that romance is the secret.
We just did the podcast before this one was with Joey Bowden, the book bubba.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is one of the things he talks about. It's like, it's an instruction manual. What is wrong with you, men?
100%. If you want to know what women think and what matters to them, romance. I don't know why more men aren't reading it to get pointers.
Only 15% of the market.
Yep. You know what? In some level, I want them to discover it. And on some level, I don't. Because on that other level, I want it to be our secret.
Exactly.
I want it to be something that we can connect with, that we can see maybe who the ones that really know are.
Yes.
And the other ones will just kind of weed themselves out.
Yes, exactly. They're, get them out of the pool.
Say the four married women on the
pool. Right?
Yes.
I'm very happily. My husband won't watch this, so
mine won't either.
Oh man! Okay, so speed round. Look at your things. So look at your. We're gonna ask. So this is the speed round. Has nothing to do with books, really. It's just a fun. Just answer right off the top of your head. Don't do too much thinking, Julie. You're starting.
Tea or coffee? I know. Coffee. I didn't make these up, but I.
Oh, okay.
Others put them in there.
But I drink decaf mostly,
which
is a sin I wouldn't normally confess, but I drink primarily decaf.
So you drink it for the flavor? Oh my gosh.
I love that bitter. I love the whole experience. Yeah, I know.
She told me that one day on the phone, she's like, you're going to be disappointed in me.
Yep.
So, right. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Dogs or cats?
Ooh. Well, I have dogs. Mr. Whitaker's allergic to cats, so I'll pick dogs.
Susie?
Kindle or paperback?
Kindle.
Fly or driving?
Driving.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cinnamon.
Ooh.
I know, it's weird, right?
Where did you get that?
Graders used to do it.
Oh, they don't do it anymore?
No, I've not seen it there. Seen. But sometimes you can find it. Oh, it's so good.
It sounds good.
It's super good.
Put it on top of apple pie.
That's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
We'll just make apple pie and have vanilla ice cream.
Cinnamon ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Super good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Susie, one more from you.
Oh, beach house or mountain lake retreat?
Beach. Okay. Julie knows. Julie could have done this.
Sneakers or sandals?
Sneakers. Isn't that weird?
No, me too.
Yeah.
I'm a sandals girl. But...
Football or baseball?
What's that?
Okay.
I'm not a sports ball person. I was in Houston during an event, a sports style event, and did not know it until the middle of the night when everybody was screaming and yelling, and I have been told it was the World Series.
Okay. Yes, but we don't do sports ball. Yes.
So sports ball is not, no. Somebody said at the thing, somebody was like, let's all go find the baseball players. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think my husband would love that. And they're like, oh, what happens here stays here. And I'm like, well, that's cool, but my husband's like here. And they're like, tell him you're going to write a sports romance. And I started laughing. And I'm like, that would be the biggest, most obvious, blatant lie I have ever told in my life.
I love it. Last one. Yes.
Action flicks or rom-coms?
Rom-coms.
Me too.
Interesting.
No, yes. I don't know. I like them both.
Action flicks stress me out.
Really? Okay. I can see that.
Yes.
Okay. Deadpool.
Deadpool. Yes. Deadpool is the combination. Deadpool is the action flick rom-com. Yes.
But I'm not a movie watcher in general, which is weird because I will sit and binge watch like all of Stranger Things back to back, but I won't watch a movie. I'll get bored. I'll be like, how long is this? I'll start asking about half an hour in. How long is this?
Are we there yet?
I've slept through more movies than I've seen all the way through.
So then I have to ask you a question since you brought up Stranger Things. Are you going to watch the David Harbour Christmas movie?
Well, of course.
See.
Listen, if you have read my books, you know that Hopper is 100% my type.
Mm-hmm.
Grumpy. He hates everyone except for the woman that he likes.
Yep.
But he's a big marshmallow on the inside.
He is. He absolutely is. See, I'm not the only one who has a Hopper
obsession. And he's married
to
Lily Allen now, and she's cool as shit.
Yes.
Her music is on almost every playlist, which will not surprise you. Heart Out Here, you know that song?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It is on all of my playlists.
Okay. Do you do playlists for all your books?
Yes. But they're for me. So it's my writing music. And so it's not necessarily the lyrics. It's the overall mood of the song. So I have playlists for books, but then I also have like sexy time playlist of music that I listen to while I write. Yeah. I have action scene playlists so I can listen to that. Yeah.
So it evokes an emotion.
Yes.
And a feeling.
So I'm trying to go through the list of things we said we were going to ask her about before.
Samich.
Before we logged on. Age order for the girls.
Oh yeah. Where do they fall?
Okay,
ages.
So it's Sam, Alex, Sam, Danny, Alex, Frankie, Charlie, James.
Okay, James is the youngest.
James is the baby, and she's the rebel. Yes.
Right. Could not remember if she was the oldest or the youngest.
She's the youngest. Sam is the oldest.
So now, okay,
Whose book is next?
Ooh, that's a good one.
It will be Sam, because I thought Sam would be farther down in the lineup, but then I brought in Adam's mother, mm-hmm. and Sam is really the one who, she doesn't have daddy issues, she has mommy issues. She was the one who knew their mom the best, and as she's grown up and essentially taken on a matriarchal position within their family, she really judges her mom harshly, mm-hmm. rightfully so. So she has never been mothered. She's always been the mother. And that's why she's sort of like fascinated by Adam's mom. And we're far enough into this that she has seen that there are good people. And so she's sort of like a feral cat that you're wooing, tuna. Mm-hmm. Like she wants it. and she's pretty sure you won't do anything back to her, but she's still scared. So I feel like she is the next logical choice.
I love that.
Good.
Yes.
And we haven't met her guy, right?
Yes, you have.
We have.
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
Mm.
And I want to torture JD a little more and kind of have Frankie be a little bit more of an asshole.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I yeah. like that. So yeah. What I find interesting, and it just reminded me, we're talking about it so many times when you have a series of siblings, they go in order. It either starts with the oldest yeah. and goes to the youngest, or it starts with the youngest and goes to the oldest. Yours have, this has not. This,
no.
You pick which character's ready.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yes. And age doesn't necessarily dictate readiness.
That is so true. So true. So do you have a guess on when Sam is going to be in the lineup?
So I have a list written somewhere on one of my lists of my plans. My guess is I'm going to be doing my Moss Creek series, then an Alaskan Security series, then one of my other series. That's my new rotation schedule. So that way I'm working in my other series while still feeding my most popular series regularly. So I have the first other series book is Sweet Side, because it's already up for pre-order. It's the Head Over Heels book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I have to do a Lost Boy, because it's been a while since I've done a Lost Boy. And that series is it's a phenomenon that authors, like, we can't predict. It's, you think you know who people are gonna fall in love with, but sometimes you get a couple characters and you're like, what? Butch and Becca in the Lost Boys series. Like, I thought, okay, I'll pair them up because it'll be a funny pairing, but I don't talk about them a whole lot, but readers are obsessed with them.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, yep. Their book is the last book in that series. There's no way around it. Based on the arc I have going, they're last. And I still have like three other dudes
yeah.
to do. So I'll probably do Sweet Side, Lost Boys. I'm looking at my unfinished series. And then Big Northwest. Those are my three open series.
Okay.
That I have going. So I'll be rotating through them with Alaskan Security and Moss Creek in between.
So which book is next for you? What's coming out next?
So technically next is a novella in the Moss right. Creek world that comes out Friday in a free holiday series. And then I will be finishing up a novella that I started forever ago that kept getting pushed on the back burner so I could finish other books I had on pre-order. And that's the sort of prequel, the mom and dad of mm-hmm. the sons. And then it will be Bacon Boy, which is no coming back. Yes. And then it'll be Jameson.
Mm-hmm. In Alaskan. Yep.
Looking at you, Susie. Alaskan Security. And then
I had
it will
planned
be...
Bacon Boy too, so.
Okay, good. Yes. And then it will be Head Over Heels and Sweet Side, which I'm super excited about because the girl owns a bookstore that she started selling marital aids out of the back room of to make ends meet.
Right.
By the book.
By the book.
Yes, by the book. What was I calling it?
Head Over Heels. It's already been published.
That's out. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's why we have Julie. She keeps us all in order.
She remembers. Yes. So buy the yes. book, which makes more book. Sense. Head Over Heels is the story that I wrote in Lucy Scores Group.
TMS.
Yeah, it's my TMS story. The hit or miss.
Hit or miss.
Oh,
hit or miss.
Hit or miss.
Head Over Heels
But I read it. I read the teen
that
books.
I wrote for teens.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So it really is the last thing I read.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So Buy the Book is the one where she owns the bookshop with the marital aides in the back room. Yes.
I'm so excited for that.
The guy is the personal trainer next door who right. wants to take over her retail space.
Right.
Which so she is not going to let happen.
So that's going to be an enemies to lovers type?
Yes. And okay. he's kind of, you know, he comes across as kind of an arrogant meathead, but he's secretly not. And, you know, they're going to find some common ground. Yes.
What, Susie? Say it.
You can't claim him. You claim them all.
Oh, I haven't. No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. You say that all the time. Mm. Oh, yeah, I licked him. I licked him. I licked him.
Hey, look, I claimed Moon. I licked Moon. He's mine.
Yes.
I'm happy. I've got my
Moon. And
Aiden is not Janice's. Aiden is not Janice's. I have my book boyfriends.
I didn't remember Moon's name.
The good sandwich
eaters. Only the good sandwich eaters.
Only the good sandwich eaters.
Only the. I watched. I want to take them all for sandwiches, all for lunch yes. first.
Yes, we only. I only write good sandwich eaters.
Good.
If you're not good at eating a sandwich, you don't get to be in a book. And if you are, then I'll probably kill you because there's no other point in having you there.
Right.
unless the woman teaches them. Maybe the
that kind of time.
Yeah, it was the virgin.
That would be a good concept.
Reverse virgin trope.
Reverse virgin.
Okay, so I love a reverse virgin trope. One of my favorite books, the book that got me back into reading romance, was a reverse virgin trope. So I love them, but for some reason I've never written one. I know. I didn't write female virgins either for a long time. Was mm-hmm. Charlie my first?
Was Charlie your virgin?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she was my virgin. So it took me like 40 books to even write a female virgin.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Why do I feel like there was another one?
Now we're going to have to go back through. Now we'll have to research and go back through and see what's there.
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't think so. Because I remember being like, well, she's grown and she's got tools. So she's not going to be completely blindsided by the feeling of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Once you're like, in this day and age, if a chick makes it to 23 as a virgin, it's not the same thing as like a virgin back in the day when they didn't even know what happened.
Right.
So
and she's got books. Yeah.
She's got books.
She's got books and she's got devices.
And hustlers.
And expectations.
Right. So when they did it, that's why I loved writing a sex scene is important, where she goes, is that it? Because she's grown. Oh, she.
Well, the best part was, can I touch it?
Yes.
Can I
touch it? I laughed so hard. And he was like, yes. What do you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, but that was a good observation on his part too of, wait a minute, something is not what I expected here because of what she was saying. Yes. Time out. Time out.
You are time out.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. It was like that oh shit moment.
We're not right in the head.
That's okay.
Well, Janice, thank you so much.
This has been a ball.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome to hang out with the Stalker
anytime.
Sisters
anytime. So we'll look forward to, if you haven't read Charlie, read that, read Big, read Mountain Men. We'll look forward to Bacon Boy. Excited about Bacon Boy, getting back on the ranch.
Yes.
And Jameson, getting back out to Alaska. Uh-huh. And then Sweet Side.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And then the novellas. And then in March, we'll see you in Maryland.
I'm excited.
For Romanticon, for Charm City.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Because I think I get overwhelmed in crowds, but usually those are people I don't know. And these are all people I know. I may only like recognize them from here to here, but like I know them. And so I'm excited to see what their legs look like.
And there's going to be more space. It's not going to be like,
what is your greatest
fun. What is your greatest aspiration for CCR? I want to see what everybody's legs look like.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Janice, thank you so much. Awesome. This has been awesome. Enjoy thank the rest you. Of your day and your week. Have a wonderful holiday.
Go eat lunch and watch Stranger Things.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yes. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.